Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money. And hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches, they never change anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see 600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every packed check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. Is who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven, the radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
Funny feeling in my tummy.
All right, this is John Cole with ThrownYourGreens.com. Today we have another exciting episode for you. We're coming at you from a very special place in the world. Well, maybe not that special. We're actually coming at you from Miami Shores Village here in Miami-Dade County in South Florida. Now, the reason why I'm here is because of one major reason, actually, because Miami Shores just recently, earlier this year, passed a law that says you cannot grow a vegetable garden in your front yard. Now, you know, if they did this 20 years ago and everybody knew this, I probably wouldn't have a big problem with it. I still would have a problem with it, but at least everybody would know this before moving here, hopefully, and not move here if they want to grow some food. Unfortunately, what happened here in Miami Shores is that a married couple that had been living here since the 90s that had been growing a vegetable garden in their front yard for the last 17 years, every year they've been growing their own food and a large percentage of their food at that. I mean, kind of like, probably like what I do. I grow a good percentage of my vegetables. I just don't have to go shopping. And in addition, I grow a lot of exotic, unique varieties that are just not available in the stores, and they are growing a lot of edible Asian greens that literally money can't buy because nobody's growing these things because they might not do good in standard agricultural production. And what happened to this married couple that's been living here in Miami Shores is after they passed the law in March, they got the city inspector coming by or whatever, code enforcement, who I've also had dealings with my local code enforcement. But they got the code enforcement, and they gave them basically a ticket to say, you're going to get fined like $50 a day if you don't pull out your vegetable garden. So unfortunately, they had no other choice than to pull out their vegetable garden. And their vegetable garden was planted in their front yard because it's south-facing. Their backyard is north-facing, so it's not the optimal position to grow a garden. So this is quite sad that this has happened to them. They had since pulled out their garden, and now they don't have a garden in their front yard. They may be trying to grow in the backyard. I don't exactly know where in Miami Shores they are. But what I'm going to do for you guys is actually post a link down below the video so you guys can be updated on this. There's actually a suit. I mean, I think this is a great injustice that is occurring here. I think everybody everywhere should be able to grow some of their own food, and that we shouldn't need any laws to pass that say we can grow food. I mean, although that's probably preemptive to pass laws that say you can grow food, because if they're not in place, then there'll be laws that say you can grow food. So I'm really watching the outcome of this case, because hopefully the law that got passed that says you can't grow food will be found literally unconstitutional. And I believe, and that's the kind of country I want to live in, where you have the right to grow food, because after all, we all need to eat. And, you know, we don't want large corporations or other people controlling what we eat. I mean, many people might not care, but if you do care, it's a big deal. I mean, the family here was growing organic and naturally without pesticides and herbicides and fungicides, and also saving a lot of money. I don't know if you've been shopping in South Florida lately, but on my last week here, I have been shopping, and prices for organic foods are really sky high, and actually the quality is fairly low, because unfortunately much of it is actually shipped in from California. So in any case, let's talk more about this particular situation in this video. We'll go to a couple locations here in Miami Shores and share with you, you know, some of the things that maybe are allowed, and a way to maybe, you know, not skirt the rules, but just not grow vegetables, but grow other kind of edibles in your garden. Then I'll have like a shared discussion with you guys about my further thoughts. All right, so here we are in Miami Shores, and in Miami Shores, as I mentioned, it is illegal in your front yard to grow vegetables, but evidently you can have Christmas tree lights and, you know, plastic snowmen and Santa and penguins to decorate. What if people are offended with this, you know? I think there should be an inalienable right to be able to grow food wherever you live. I think we're given this right, and I think it is wrong for cities to pass laws that say we cannot grow food. I mean, after all, we need very little in life. We need to be able to breathe, right? And that's definitely a must. We need to have some water, which is a must, and we need to be able to eat. And if you can't grow your food, you cannot provide for you and your family. It's very simple. You know, now, besides just growing standard vegetables that are definitely outlawed, what we're going to do next is actually take you to a lot that is actually growing crops in the front yard that you could eat, because while vegetables are outlawed, things like fruits, fruit trees, nut trees, Probably things like herbs and potentially even perennial vegetables that look like ornamental plants are not outlawed. It's just probably more of the standard vegetable plants that kind of look a little bit funky because, after all, this is definitely an upscale area. All right, here we're at Miami Shores and a residence behind me. And while they're not growing any vegetables, because that would be illegal, they actually planned really smart. Actually, they planted the permaculture edible garden. So what's permaculture? Well, they got a lot of different unique crops, mostly fruit trees, maybe some herbs, and maybe some perennial vegetables that aren't your standard vegetables growing that can be grown in the front yard here in Miami Shores. So let's go ahead and take a quick tour around. So upon walking up, you'll actually see grass. And hey, wait, it's illegal to grow grass, man, because grass is a vegetable. If you go into most health food stores, you could find cut wheatgrass being sold in the vegetable section. I don't know, but here it is. Everybody has their lawn here in Miami Shores. So I don't know, maybe they're going to outlaw that next because grass, it's a vegetable. It is to cows anyways. Anyways, they have a lot of ornamentals here, you know, that are non-edibles, like the stuff here, which I have no clue what it is. But then we go down over here. This is a perfectly good permaculture-style ground cover. This is actually called perennial peanut. And I guess you could eat this stuff. It's not normally eaten. I've eaten the flowers before. It's kind of fun. Wait, is that a vegetable too? Yeah, but actually it looks really pretty, and actually it serves a valuable purpose. I mean, it's planted underneath this nice, huge, looks like to be a mango tree that's been actually pruned appropriately so it stays pretty small and yet probably yields a lot in season. The perennial peanut grass is a nitrogen fixer, so it's actually fixing nitrogen and making nutrition for the tree above. And there's many different kinds of trees all along through here, you know, fairly closely planted, maybe like 6 feet. Every 6 feet, there's a nice fruit tree planted and a whole bunch of other cool things growing here. I mean, I just smell some fragrance that's just really, really delicious. In addition, we got things planted like katuk. Right over here, it looks like it's having a little bit of challenges. Katuk is an edible perennial vegetable, and it looks like they're just starting to put in some perennial peanut grass that hasn't yet taken root. Here's a pomegranate tree here, and, you know, just walking around the garden here, it looks like they have all kinds of different pomegranate trees and other kind of fruit trees. Here's a pomegranate. Next, we have another fruit. I don't exactly know that type there. Maybe kind of looks like a pomegranate. And then up here, there's another pomegranate, and they got an avocado and another mango and all kinds of cool stuff growing in here. Now, here's one of my favorite. This is a fruit, actually. This can be grown because it's not a vegetable.
Okay. Today, I wanted to cover, and I'm going to switch today's topic to Monday's topic, homemade wealth. Homemade wealth. And we have a outline here on I was scrolling marquee, but I slept the wrong kind of way. Like, I don't know how I got twisted up last night. And it must have happened during the latter part of the night because I was up half the night. But my lower back, I've got my third hot water bottle on it to get some relief. So I'm going to cut today's we're going to cover, like I said, today we were talking about homemade wealth. We're going to take a look at people like Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, people that, I mean, you know, that did simple things, but they just turned on the camera. And, you know, Martha Stewart's a billionaire now. So, anyway, we're going to cover homemade wealth Monday, because I want to get my back straight. Hopefully it'll be straight by the end of the day or whatever, but it's getting a little bit better. This is my third or fourth hot water bottle I've had on it. So I'm glad I'm showing some improvement, because on top of that, I'm pet sitting one dog, extra dog, and a pig. And I just had to go feed the pig because if this pig doesn't eat when they want to eat, they get aggressive, which means, you know, so a bad, like, so I now I don't know what happened. I must have slipped the wrong way because this had to happen after 4 o'clock. I probably dozed off for now. I must have slept twisted to some kind of way. On that note, so everyone have a good rest of the weekend. Monday we'll be picking back up where we left off today. Homemade wealth.